And we're going to go ahead and turn in our Bibles to my favorite passage, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look here at verse 1 and verse 2. We're going to read these, we're going to pray, and then we're going to take a look at some practical application this morning. This is stuff that we need as believers. This is stuff that we need to ponder and consider how God wants us to really truly be in this life that is His, that belongs to Him. So let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. I thank you again for your word that teaches us and guides us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the instruction that we need so that we may live this life according to your will, and that we may show and demonstrate who you are and give you glory, honor, and praise in all that we do. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would just be with me in my thoughts and my voice, that, Lord, these things would come through clear, and that the instruction that you provide for us, Lord, will be something that we take with us throughout our life and throughout our decision-making process, throughout what we need to do to discern, to judge, and to use this body that you have given to us for your praise. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with our hearts, that they would be open and receptive to your word this morning, that we would receive it with joy and gladness, and that, Lord, we would use it in such a way that you would be very pleased with all that is done this morning. Thank you again for this time. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in chapter 1, we have these two things. We have what is referred to as conformity, and we have what is referred to as transformation. And when we see these things that God tells us by which we're supposed to be transformed, and we see the things to which we are not to be conformed, we obviously have an instruction similar to the book of Proverbs: don't do this, do this. And God uses those comparisons quite frequently in the book of Proverbs and throughout Scripture to show us how we are to judge things, how we are to discern. Because discernment is a key important principle as a believer in Jesus Christ. If we are going to truly receive what God has for us and what God wants for us, there has to be the allowance of Him working in us to make a change. Because let's face it, we got to make a lot of changes. And by nature, people are not agents of change. Even though we change a lot. You know, you haven't seen somebody for a while, they change. You go through life and you look back, what you were, say 20, 30, maybe 40 years ago, you've changed. Things have changed. Your taste changes. Your hair changes. Your body shape changes. There's a lot of things that change. So when we see what God wants us to do, we understand this concept. But when we see this conformity that he talks about in this passage, where he says, and be not conformed to this world, we truly have to understand what that means. The word, if you will, the definition of conformity means that we yield to the world and live according to its standards and what it demands. Now, we as believers understand that is not what we are to be doing. That is not something that we are supposed to do. If we were to conform to the world's standards, could you imagine what that would be? First and foremost, you have to pick and choose which standard, because there is no one uniform standard. You'd be blown about with every change and with everything that comes about that may be what the world wants. And this is what is dangerous. Why? Because it provides no foundation for the person. It provides no grounding agent. You realize that when sadness and depression comes, there has to be a foundational element to be able to get through that. I mean, you know, the Bible talks about, and I've mentioned this multiple times, the two men, the wise man and the foolish man that built their houses. One builds on the rock, one builds on the sand. The rock is the foundation, the sand is not a good foundation. And it says, and when the floods come, the rain comes, the winds come. It's not an if, it's the when. What is going to stand? What is going to get blown over? What is going to get knocked down? And if we conform to what the world wants today, then we as believers are not going to have the foundation. This is why suicide is such a big issue. This is why mental health is such a big issue. The reason that mental health is such a big issue is because we have a spiritual drought. We have a spiritual famine in this country right now. There are not enough people that realize the importance of who Jesus Christ is and what God has done for us and what he will do for us. They don't realize that. And because they don't realize that, they're challenged. And many times, people fall. I know of people that have committed suicide. But it's because they have conformed to the world's way of thinking. And we have to be careful with this. We have to be very careful. So what we realize is that what we're doing when we conform is we're conforming to the world's will. What the world's will is. Now you understand there's a lot of wills in this world. There's my will. There's your will. There's the will of what society wants. That is dependent upon which group it is. That is the will of the devil, if you will. But above all, there's the will of the Lord, which we, as we see in this verse 2, we are supposed to live in such a way that we prove that. That we show that it is true. That we show that it is good. That we show that, you know what, it's acceptable. That we show that it's perfect. This is what we are supposed to be doing. And what does that mean? That means we sacrifice our will on the altar to do what God wants. We can't conform to what the world wants. But a lot of problems today that happen in a believer's life can often be attributed to where they are conforming in maybe small areas or some areas of their life to what the world wants. So we have to be careful. So this morning, I kind of want to walk us through a little bit of some, if you will, application of what God tells us that we need to do to discern whether or not we are conforming to what the world wants or whether we're conforming to what God wants. Because, I mean, we look at this and we have to be careful that we're not, you know, from this text, that we're not aligning with what the world wants. A believer can't align in their actions, in their thoughts, in their words to the way the world behaves. We have to be different creatures. Why? Because we are a new creature in Christ. We're not the same thing that we were before salvation. We're different. We should act different. We should behave different. We should think differently. We should speak differently. It shouldn't be the same thing. We need to be in alignment with the will of God. So as part of this transformation process, we have to go through and we have to start looking at this. Now look, I want us to understand, the transformation process is not a one-time thing. Transformation happens until you are in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I'm there, transformation, okay, we're good. We got to that. We're done. There's no more transformation. But here in this life, we have to transform small things at a time. One thing at a time. Step by step by step by step. Many times people have an expectation of what a believer should do. When a believer trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have salvation, they have forgiveness of sins, and it's praise God, amen for that. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, you should be acting differently now. They've been in the world for so long sometimes that they don't even know how to act different. And it comes along with a lot of care. I'm going to save that for the after potluck message. But I want us to understand that there's something that very clearly we as believers need to understand, that this transformation process is going to be analyzing every area of our life and transforming it one by one by one by one by one. That means each thought that you think, you have to make sure you transform that. Not conform it to the way the world thinks. Nobody would have an expectation of a believer that has just trusted Christ as their Savior to be instantaneously doing everything right. It's not a magic Jesus pill. You don't take it and then everything changes. Now we are a new creature. Praise the Lord for that. Spiritually, there is a lot of stuff that has happened. There's a lot of stuff that takes place. But there's a lot of work that happens thereafter. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of smoke in the air, if you will. There's a lot of things that need to be done, burned up, and purged out so that we will be proving that will of God in our lives. So this part of this process, we have to understand that we've got to discern things in our life of what exactly God wants. And part of this discernment, if you will, is what the mind does. One of the main functions of the mind is to look at everything that's going on around you and make a determination about what is happening in your environment. I'll give you an example. We went to Florida. We get off the plane. We're in Florida. Instantaneously, my mind says, you're in a different place than Washington. Why is that? Yeah, you walk in there and it's just like you're getting smothered with a wet blanket. You're like, pfft. I was telling people, we were caught in the middle of some of those storms that were down there. At one point in time, here we are in this big Hurricane vehicle that we wind up renting because we had all this luggage to pack around. We're in these winds. I mean, I could feel it moving, this big giant Jeep Wagoneer back and forth. Jeep Wagoneer, by the way, is one of the largest vehicles that's out there. The only one that's a little bit bigger is the Suburban. And this thing's moving around. I could feel it being buffeted in the wind. And at one point in time, we had to pull over and stop because you can't see anything because the entire Gulf of Mexico was coming down on us. And then in the middle of it, my body says, hey, you know what? We got to make a pit stop. Right now? Yes, right now. You know what my mind was doing? My mind was sitting there and I was trying to discern, how urgent do I need to make this flee for my life into the mall to use the restroom? I got to make a determination. So I pull up as close as I can. Somebody else was going to hop in the driver's seat. And I opened the door. And you know that little pull handle, that little cubby there that you like put trash in on the door to close it? I opened that up, and within the 5 seconds that door was open, that thing filled up with water. I make the run in that 5 seconds from the vehicle to the door as I'm sloshing through puddles that are probably about 3 to 4 inches deep. My feet are soaked. By the time I get inside, the shirt that I'm wearing and the t-shirt that is underneath that is soaked. My pants are soaked. My socks are soaked. My shoes are soaked. My hat is soaked. My hair is soaked. My face is soaked. My beard is soaked. I look like I swam. And I go into the mall, and there's water bubbling up from underneath the tiles. You know what? My mind went, I'm not in Washington anymore. I'm in the South. Every time I go to the South, this is the way it is. And again, they say it rains in Washington. Okay, it may sprinkle and be cloudy for, you know, a majority of the days. Very infrequently do we have that kind of weather. So, yeah, my mind discerns the environment around us. We use our mind to discern pain. We use our mind to discern whether there's a problem with our health. We use our mind to discern things that are going on around us. We use our mind to discern when we're hungry. We use our mind to kind of, if you will, judge what we need to do moving forward and what we're going to do with the day. That is one of the functions of our mind that God gave us. We're supposed to use our mind for the glory of God. Every thought should be brought to the point of where it is glorifying and pleasing to Him. And that's a struggle. Trust me, it's a struggle. If you don't think it's a struggle, please, by all means, again, write a book so that we can all understand. But a book has already been written, which we need to follow. And if we follow this, praise the Lord. Because guess what? If you do write the book, we're not going to listen to that. Because we have a hard time listening to this one. So when we take a look at this, and in this specific passage, there's a lot of things that we have to do. And we have to make sure that we go through every area of our life and ask, am I transformed into the will of God, or am I still conformed to the thinking and the mentality of this world? We have to analyze our thoughts. We have to analyze our words. We have to analyze our actions. You know, the Bible talks about, we were going through the book of James, James chapter 3. We were talking a lot about words, talking a lot about the tongue, how the tongue offends. And if we can just get control of the tongue, we can be a perfect person. And then he says, the tongue no man can tame. Why is that? Because we say stupid stuff. We really do. You ever said anything stupid? Let's have testimony time. Anybody say anything stupid? Say anything stupid in the last 24 hours? have any stupid thoughts in the last 10 minutes? Yeah, we have stupid. It's what we do, right? We really, truly have got to look at that and say, man, I need to analyze and say, am I bringing God glory with what I'm saying, with what I'm thinking? And specifically what I'm doing. My actions and behaviors should show I am doing the will of God from the heart. Not fake, not feigned, but doing it because we love the Lord. And we look at this, and here are some ways that God wants us to do this. The very first thing I want us to do is I want us to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We've been studying the book of 1 John on Sunday nights for a while now. And primarily because it's been interrupted several times. But in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, I want you to see this. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. How many of us in here really truly trust what the internet says? Trust Wikipedia, do you? Yeah, no. But here's what we have to realize. We can't trust every spirit. We got to be careful. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to lie to you. And I'll tell you this, you know who the biggest liar is? Us. Because we lie to ourselves so much. And we lie to ourselves knowing that it's wrong, and knowing that it's fake, and knowing that it's false, knowing that it's a lie, and then we go, yeah, I'll go ahead and believe that. We're our own worst enemy. You know, a lot of times the devil doesn't really have to do much to us. His spirits that are out there in that world, they don't have to do much to us. Why? Because we're believing ourselves more than we believe God. But here's what happens. With this passage, you know what winds up coming to mind? The very first thing that we have to do to ensure that we're not conforming to this world is this. We got to ask some questions. You know what? It's not wrong to ask questions. It's not wrong to ask God questions. Job asked some questions. Others have asked questions. The disciples asked questions. If you're not asking questions, you're not paying attention. So let's think about this for a second. We got to ask some questions. Now look, here's the problem. Be careful about demanding answers. Because you may come across, as we were talking about this morning, you may come across something that maybe God doesn't want to reveal to you. Or maybe we already know the answer and we just don't want to hear it. Yeah. But we got to be careful about demanding answers. But it's not wrong to ask questions. And if we do it the right way, God answers and shows us what is right. This is important for us to believe. We must believe that God will show us the right thing to do. But we got to be diligent in it. In seeking after it, in finding it. So you know what we have to do? We have to investigate. Turn over to Proverbs. I want us to think about this. We have to investigate. We have to look at things. We have to again, analyze and really say, okay, is this of God? Is this going to please God? Is this something that brings God glory? Is this something that God would, you know, at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or is he going to look at us and go, really? You did that? Out of all the choices that you had, you chose that one? Kind of like that servant. Like, as he said to the servant, you understand that I'm an austere man. You understand that I'm, you know, very particular in what I do. And yet you chose to not do anything with what I gave you? Rather than try to use it, we got to be careful. In Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18 is where we're going to be. We got to ask questions. We got to investigate. We've got to ask, where did that thought originate? Where did this action originate from? Where did it come from? Did it come from God? Did it come from His Word? Did it come from a leading of the Holy Spirit? Or did it come from the persuasion of man? Or did it come from the ideas and the concepts of the world? Did it come from Fox News, CNN, whatever news agency you listen to? Did it come from some other source other than God? We've got to investigate. We've got to ask questions. We have to ask, what type of system is it built on? What type of philosophy does it follow? Does it follow something that is in a form of humanism where it's bringing glory to myself? Or does it follow after something that is pleasing unto God and brings Him glory and praise? Do we have to, I mean, again, we have to take a look at this and investigate part of this and ask questions and ask, what's the end goal here? What is it I want to see? Is what I want to see the same thing that what God wants to see? Do I want to see promotion, honor upon myself? Or do I want to see God's hand work in it? We've got to be careful. We've got to ask questions. In Proverbs chapter 18, jump down here to verse 15. It says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. You know what you have to do to get knowledge? You got to ask questions. If you don't know something, you've got to figure out how to do it. You've got to figure out something about it. You got to do research. You got to look into the subject. You got to look into the matter. It says, in the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And you know what you have to be willing to do? Not only do you have to be willing to ask the questions, you have to be willing to listen for the answer. There's that little adage that runs around, and is this. Many people today do not listen to learn. They listen to respond. They don't listen for the purpose of, hey, I want to make sure that I'm hearing this right and that I'm going to grow from this. No, they're listening and at the same time thinking about what they're going to say in response to something that you already said. That's not listening, by the way. That's not hearing. And I'll tell you this. If you're ever used in the position of where you need to counsel somebody, you know what you have to do? You have to be willing to listen to what the person is saying. If you're not willing to listen to what that person is saying, you'll never be an encouragement to them. You will never edify them. You will never be doing what God wants you to do. Be careful. This is part of this discernment process. And you have to ask yourself, even with that thought, am I listening to respond? Or am I listening to hear what their issue is so that I know what God wants me to say? We have to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than listening to what we say in our own head about what we think is the right thing. Many times people can't tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and their head. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Because if we listen to our head, we're conforming to the ways of the world. Let's take a look at another application. Let's look at this. We go back over there to Romans chapter 12 and taking a look at how he talks about this. And in Romans chapter 12, one of the things that he very clearly he goes through and talks about in this chapter is really truly how to go through that transformative process. And I'll say this, one thing that we have to be careful of is in this discernment process is after we ask the questions, after we go through this investigative process about where it comes from, about where what its sources is we need to really truly say this. We need to say it out loud. Have you ever said something in your head and thought that makes sense, and then when it came out of your mouth, you were like, oh, that, oh. I wish I could recall that. But you realize there is no recall email button with what you say. Once it's out, it's out. And you have to deal with the repercussions of that. You have to deal with the repercussions of what you said and how you said it. And why you said it. You got to be careful with that. So sometimes when I say it out loud, what I truly mean is you say it out loud to God. You ask the Lord and you say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking about saying. Does this sound good to you? And you know what? If you're attuned and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're ready to receive that answer, he'll tell you whether it is or whether it isn't. He will guide you in that. He will truly say, no, you need to hold your tongue. Or you need to rephrase that. You need to change the way you say that. You need to be careful. The other day I was investigating something. We were just, as part of our yearly process and goals that we had set, and was asking some questions, which is what I do a lot of, because I do a lot of analysis with our legal department. And I was just looking into something, and I was trying to figure out something, whether or not we should include this language in an agreement, and so on and so forth. So I started asking questions, and throughout this process, not to get into any of this, I got a email from somebody that I've known for a long time, and she said, "Careful how you proceed." Oh. Because there were some people that were not happy the first time some of this stuff was asked. And here I am asking about something that may have already been addressed. She's like, "You need to be careful." I'm like, "Okay, I can do that." So you know what? When I went through and I started asking my questions, I had to sit there and ask that. And you know, I can type it out, but I had to go back and reread it. And say it in my head, how is this going to sound if somebody reads this? You ever send a text message that got misinterpreted? You ever send an email that somebody was like, "I don't like the tone of your email," and you're like, "What tone? There's no tone. I just asked a question." Got to be careful, right? You got to be careful. So you know what you have to do is you have to stop and you have to pause and you have to say, "What is this going to sound like?" Because here's what happens. Turn in Romans chapter 12, going back to this and look at verse 17. He says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." What does he say here? You know what? You got to be careful. And what I'm about to say, is that a shot across the bow? You ever involve yourself into a conversation where pretty soon you realize that you're not actually having a conversation, you're living the Battle of Midway? You're firing shots across each other's bow. You're flying aircraft carrier, or you're flying aircraft over aircraft carriers, and you're dropping bombs and so on and so forth, and you realize you're on a full-on assault, back and forth, trading salvos. It's like the Revolutionary War. You know, let's all stand in a line and shoot at each other. That's a really bright idea. There's a lot of things that you got to really truly think about. You don't want to engage in that. Somebody, just because somebody says something bad to you, doesn't mean that you get to turn around and do the same thing. It doesn't mean that you the eye for an eye thing. Careful how we use that. Because God is the God of vengeance, not us. We are poor instruments of that. But what would you find? He says, you know what? You have to provide something that's honest. You have to be careful. And what does he say? He says, if possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you know what? There's always that one person that sits there and says, "Well, it's just not possible with me." To quote another passage of scripture, "With man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So when he says, if it's possible, you know what he's saying? It's possible. That if is there is whether or not you're going to comply and obey the will of God. That's what that if is about. It's not an if as in you get to pick and choose. It's about whether or not you're going to do this and respond to the Holy Spirit the correct way. That's what this if is about. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Well, let me ask you this. Who's in you? You know what he's talking about here? As much as lieth in you? What lies in you more? What is in you more? The Word of God or the word of the world? The desires of God or the desires of man itself? You sacrifice all those things. You burn those on that altar. Guess what? You'll be able to live peaceably with all men, regardless of what happens. You realize this takes effort. This takes conscious effort. And you know what? There's a lot of transformation that has to take place. And believe me, speaking from experience, as a person that in the past has had little like for individuals and people, there's a lot of transformation that needs to take place. There's a lot of change that needs to happen. And you have to purposely think and not act on impulse, not act upon emotion, not act upon on our own will. So you know what we have to do? We have to say it out loud to God and say, God, is this what you want? And he'll tell us a yes or a no. Is it going to bring peace? Are you going to bring war? Is it a shot across the bow? Or is it something that you get to say, it's not worth that fight? It's not worth the battle. It's not worth the scars that are going to happen. The world, for some reason, enjoys scars. They're proud of their scars. They walk around and boast of their scars. I got a lot of scars right now. I keep trying to come up with crazy things when people look at it and go, what happened? And I can say, I got attacked by a thresher shark. I was in Florida for my daughter's graduation and a gator got me. there's all sorts of stuff, right? Spiritually, I understand we got a lot of scars, okay? I get that. They're not something to boast about. Because a lot of them we brought on ourselves and we fought fights that we shouldn't fight. Well, what do I mean by that? Turn to 2 Chronicles. Let's look at chapter 16. And I know we don't have time to go through all of this. This will be the last reference we look at. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we've got a situation where there's this individual by the name of Asa. He did something right the first time, and then the second time he did something that the world would want. And in this chapter, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, he goes about and he does something very clearly to try to, if you will, help its situation. In verse 1, it says, in the 36th year, the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might not let go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So here you got brother and brother fighting. Two Jews fighting. You got the kingdom of Israel and you got the kingdom of Judah. Baasha decides he's going to set up a fortress and block anybody from coming into Judah and from coming out of Judah. What is he doing? He's trying to isolate him. Well, thanks, bro. That's real nice. And Asa, he's like, I'm not having this. But instead of relying on God like he did in the previous chapters, you know what he does? Look, in verse 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And what happens? It worked. Ben-Hadad decides to go attack the kingdom of Israel, which means that Baasha has got to take his resources and move them from what he was doing to go defend his cities. And then what does Asa do? Asa goes in and he takes that over and he accomplishes something. He gets rid of this problem. And you know what happens? In this chapter, and I encourage you to read it without, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but God tells him, you did the wrong thing. Why didn't you let me handle it? Why didn't you come to me and ask the question? So let me ask you this. When it comes to this discernment process about the will of God, about being transformed, always ask this question. What resources are you using to accomplish it? Are you using your own strength? Are you using your own intellect? Using your own knowledge? Look, let's just face it. We got problems that come up in our life. A lot of them. A lot of them. What resources are we using? Now, Asa specifically, he misused what God gave him. He took those things out of the house of God. And I'll tell you this, as we, as, if you will, going back over there, how Paul refers to us as the temple of the Holy Ghost, you know what? A lot of times we go into that temple and we rob God and use resources inappropriately. So let's ask this. Are we using what God gave us correctly? God gave us a mind. And you know, for some people, it's nothing more than a seat cushion. But I'll tell you this. He gave it to us for a reason. So that with that transformed mind, we can sit down and think. And we can discern. And we can judge. And we can ask, is this in the will of God? And sometimes we have to say it out loud. And we have to ask God, is this your will? And he will tell us. And we have to ask God, what resources do you want me to use? And he'll give those to you. But often, you know what we do? We use our own resources. And we deplete our strength. And we deplete our mental abilities. And we frustrate the grace of God. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. Because we never ask the questions. God, is this right? And I'll tell you this. This is coming from experience in my own life. As a believer, this is why this passage is so important to me. Because I still go through the transformation process daily, as we all should. We should all analyze our thoughts. We should all analyze our words, our actions, before we say them, before we do them, and before we use something that maybe God did not want us to use. And I'll tell you this, it is far better to rely on the Word of God, the truth of God, the knowledge of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the will of God to make the decisions in our life so that we may please Him and honor Him and glorify him in all that we do. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for all that you teach us. I thank you again for your perfect will that you have given to us to do. And Lord, you have said it is good and it is acceptable. And Lord, may we receive it and accept it. May we use it for your good and for your glory. And Lord, may we use it to show how perfect you are and how you perfect us day to day, hour by hour, word by word, and thought by thought. Lord, again, I just pray that we would take these things and use them and apply them in our lives to be diligent soldiers, to be diligent servants, to be diligent Christians and diligent believers that truly proclaim how great thou art. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. As we close with this hymn, Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to move amongst us and use these words to teach us and to guide us. In these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.